Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on out there, everybody? I would like to welcome everybody to the latest edition of the Ham Rothstein Sports Show. And as always, the number to call in is 929-477-2865. I repeat, 929-477-2865. Man, where do I start? There's so much going on in the world of sports. Chip Kelly has a new job. Tyronn Lue is in as the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which led to David Blatt being hoisted out a couple of days ago. And I'm just saying, man, it's just a ton of stuff going on. And who better to bring it to you than me? So first things first, Chip Kelly was fortunate enough to land a job 2 weeks after he had got fired by Jeffrey Lurie in the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, a lot of people are of the mindset of that this is going to work because he's in San Francisco, he's going back home to the West Coast area, he's going to be able to run that high-powered offense, the up-tempo, you know, keeping his defense on the field for the majority of the time. I get it. Having Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert as a viable backup, blah, 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 blah. I understand it, but I do not agree with it because how in the hell, coach, go from alienating each and every player that he coached in Philadelphia, which led to him being outed? He couldn't even coach the lad. Jeffrey Lurie said it was so bad, he fired him prior to the last game of the NFL season. I mean, if that is an indictment on Chip Kelly, then I don't know what the hell is. I mean, what has this guy done to deserve a head coaching job so soon? I mean, can somebody please tell me? Because I'm looking at his record, man, and I'm not impressed. He took over the Philadelphia Eagles organization in 2013. He was the coach slash GM. That means he brought in the personnel that he wanted so he can, you know, create schemes for those exotic offensive packages that he tends to run out of the shotgun set. He brought in the quarterbacks that he wanted. He brought in the wide receivers that he wanted. He got rid of all the players that he had, which ultimately led to him not doing a damn thing. In 2013, he won 10 games. They lost 6. In 2014, the Philadelphia Eagles won 10 games and lost 6. Not bad. 62.5 win percentage. In 2015, this past season, he went 6-9. And I wonder why. Could it be maybe just maybe that he got rid of dare I say, all of the talent that he had prior to coming to Philadelphia. I know you guys remember a dude by the name of Deshaun Jackson, one of the most lethal and potent deep threats the NFL has ever seen. The guy practically runs a 4.240, has solid hands, can get open against any one-on-one coverage. You have to roll the coverage over the top because if you don't, he will dance and prance his way into the end zone. Deshaun Jackson. And it got so bad between him and Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly sullied his name on his way out the door. Do you know what Chip Kelly said? He put out reports, and I know it came from Chip Kelly or somebody within the organization because it never happened when Andy Reid was there. Why all of a sudden when it was time for Deshaun Jackson to get his contract, we start hearing about gang affiliation? Now, everybody understands that Deshaun Jackson went to California College, okay? Everybody knows he's from L.A., okay? So I'm pretty sure he does have ties to some of those gang affiliations, gangbangers, whatever you want to call them. Who knows? Who cares? But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's in it, or could it be that maybe he just grew up in that kind of environment? I mean, he turned out to be a pretty good dude to me. I mean, from looking at him from afar. But that's just one incident. The second incident was with LeSean Shady McCoy, arguably the best, if not one of the best, top three running backs in the NFL today. I mean, this dude, you talk about electrifying, putting on the show, the modern-day Barry Sanders, taking a negative 3 yardage play and making something out of nothing, turning it into a 15-yard gain. Yeah, Shady McCoy. Do you know Chip Kelly found a reason to get rid of Shady McCoy? Can you believe that? Not only did you get rid of Shady McCoy after alienating him, because you know why? Shady McCoy is an outspoken personality. He's an outspoken guy. He has very outspoken ways. He stands up. He knows he's a man, and he's a leader. See, this is my problem with Chip Kelly. It has never been about X's and O's. Nobody ever said that. When I make fun of Chip Kelly on my Facebook page, I'm not talking about him as a coach. I know he knows what the hell he's doing. That's not what I'm criticizing him for. My biggest problem with Chip Kelly is what? He doesn't know how to lead men. I think there is something to be said about a guy who doesn't want to cultivate and ingratiate and nurture and mold certain relationships with certain type of guys. Because from afar, it looks like to me that he doesn't like an outspoken player. He wants to be the star of the show. Chip Kelly wants to run the Philadelphia Eagles or any NFL organization like it is a collegiate program, like everybody is equal. There's no stars. There's no star running backs. There's no star wideouts. There's no star quarterbacks. There's nothing. Just Chip Kelly. It starts and ends with Chip. That's what he wants. Don't you get it? And the moment that he feels like you went behind his back, a la DeMarco Murray, when he was on a plane ride home after a loss, in which he was pretty upset about not getting the proper playing time that he felt like he deserved. You know what happened in the next coming weeks? Chip Kelly benched last year's league-leading rusher. Now, how does that happen? Practically begged the guy and stole him away from my Dallas Cowboys. I mean, this is the same guy that ran roughshod over the whole NFL. And you mean to tell me you can't find any way to incorporate him into that high-pitched, hostile offense with the exotic packages and the shotgun? I mean, because everybody knows DeMarco Murray is supposed to be running north to south, not east and west. I mean, if Chip Kelly was that much of a genius, he would be able to maneuver and adapt to the talent and the personnel that he has at his disposal. I mean, isn't that what coaching is about? Isn't that what coaching is about? Being mindful of what's going on, the ability to adapt on the fly, I mean, it's no different than your average corporate 9-to-5 paying job. That's what a manager is supposed to do. Because you never know when somebody's going to call in. You never know when somebody's going to have a personal matter. You never know what's going to happen at any given time. So you have to be prepared for different personalities, phases, everything. It's not just about coaching and drawing up plays. And that is my biggest problem with Chip Kelly. And everybody's is high on his move, but I'm really not, because even though he's going to San Francisco and he has Colin Kaepernick, who looked like a bum last year, I mean, a flat-out bum. I mean, there was times this dude was throwing to the other team on the other team's sideline. This dude looks that bad. He looked that bad. This dude, Colin Kaepernick, looked so damn bad, he got bitched for Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert outplayed Colin Kaepernick. Now, I get it. Maybe he didn't have the weapons that he used to have. I get it. But, man, I'm just saying, Chip Kelly, I'm not so sure that this love affair is going to work. I'm really not sure, because I'll tell you one thing. The moment Chip Kelly feels like you're talking too much to the media, or you stabbing them in the back, he will bench you. Or, better yet, he will get rid of you. He will cut you. He will trade you. And my biggest problem with the 49ers is this. You got rid of Jim Harbaugh, his younger brother, who y'all claim he was an asshole. He was hard to get along with. Well, what do you call Chip Kelly? I don't think Chip Kelly is going to be exchanging Christmas gifts. I don't think Chip Kelly is going to be the guy at the business party, after party, after spot, going to happy hour with the fellas, with the guys, with the management, with the owners. Chip Kelly rubs me the wrong way. He comes off to me as a guy that thinks he's a genius and he wants to be the smartest dude in the room, and that he knows how to do everything. And not only that, he thinks his system doesn't need talent. Well, there's a newsflash for you, Chip. Everybody needs talent in the NFL, because this is a players' league, not a coaches' league. And unless you're Bill Belichick, you don't have that kind of cachet. Now, I'm going to take a break, but when I come back, I am going to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers firing Coach David Blatt yesterday. And this is Ham Rothstein Sports. Don't move. Let's go. And once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Ham Rothstein Sports Show. The number to call up is always 929-477-2865. Now, back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, because I talked about this in detail on my last episode. And if you missed it, that's cool. Just archive it through your iTunes, through your Google Play, through my website at hamrothsteinsports.com. But the Cleveland Cavaliers did what I said they needed to do. They did exactly what I said they needed to do. I pointed out two things on my last episode. I said you either, A, got to get rid of Kevin Love, but who is going to take on that $110 million contract making $19 million per year, or get rid of David Blatt. Because keep in mind, David Blatt has never been an NBA head coach, and you got to wonder, did the guys even respect David Blatt? Because he just looked, half the time he stood on the sideline with his hands on his hips. And I just didn't understand that. I don't understand how you can have a big three in Kyrie Irving, LeBron King James, and Kevin Love, and you can't look any better than what you looked against San Antonio and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, because let's be honest, the Cavaliers are on top of the Eastern Conference right now. is sitting at, what, 30-11? I mean, they're not bad, but they're not great. At this point in the NBA season, I expected more from this team than what we have seen thus far. And I just got to be honest with you, man. I think it was the right move to pull the plug to put David Blatt out of his misery, because I think the poor fella, he was just up for a task that he just couldn't really handle right now. I mean, coaching LeBron, coaching Kyrie, coaching Kevin Love, excuse me. I mean, it's a tough task on anybody, and that's why you should have brought in somebody with some cachet, not another novice in Tyronn Lue. Now, I get it. Tyronn Lue appears to be closer with LeBron James than David Blatt. Tyronn Lue appears to be the guy that whenever the Cleveland Cavaliers are having trouble or they're struggling during the game, you can see them in the huddles, in the timeouts, after the commercial breaks, they're talking to Tyronn Lue. I seen a clip the other day on Instagram, and it was pretty funny, of LeBron James looking so disgusted, so defeated, so just deplorable on the sidelines talking to Tyronn Lue. And you can just see Tyronn Lue shaking his head, nodding his head like, yeah, I'm with you, I hear you, I got you. And it was funny because after tonight's game, I was very interested to see how they will play tonight, being that it was Tyronn Lue's first game as the head coach. And to me, from my vantage point, they didn't play any different. It was still the same old, pick and roll, pick and roll. If the first pick and roll don't work, they'll stop, dump it down to LeBron on the block. He squares up, waits about 10 seconds. It's about 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and he has to take an 11-foot shot, or he takes one dribble and kicks it out to Iman Shumpert, who's going to clank it, or J.R. Smith is going to clank it, because they are too inconsistent. Excuse me, y'all, I'm trying to get over a cold. I just came to the realization, man, that the Cleveland Cavaliers are not going to win any championship with a couple of guys on this roster. And I have a list. Number one is Matthew Dellavedova. Sure, he plays hard-nosed defense. Sure, he can be borderline dirty. Hell, he was voted the most dirtiest player in the game, according to his peers. But have you guys realized that this dude can't go left? I mean, if I'm a defender, I am forcing this guy left all game long. He practically dribbles with his head down looking at the ball because he is garbage. He can only do one or two things. He can either shoot a wide-open shot, in which he's going to miss the majority of the time. I've never seen him hit a big shot. Or, two, he's going to drive to the lane on that pick-and-roll, the 1-5 screen and roll with Tristan Thompson, and he's going to throw the alley-oop. He's not going to score. And at what point is the defense going to realize he doesn't want to score and just play that pick-and-roll alley-oop lob to Tristan Thompson, who, by the way, has been looking bad himself? Kyrie Irving hasn't been looking like himself. And I just want to say for the record, I want to apologize to one of my best friends of the show, Benny Blanco. I'm sorry for comparing Kyrie Irving to Stephen Curry. I am so sorry. What the hell was I thinking? Because that guy, Stephen Curry, is on another level. You want to talk about the best player in the NBA? I'm willing to submit it now. I agree. I have number one, either him, or number two, Russell Westbrook. I mean, it's interchangeable because what I see from Russell Westbrook on a nightly basis, on the defensive end and the offensive end, is it's unmatched. It's unparalleled to anybody. But what I see Steph Curry do when his brother brings the ball up the court, soon as he crosses half court, he is a threat. You either got to double team him. I mean, how do you defend a guy that can pull up from anywhere, off the dribble, hand in his face, step back jumpers, behind the back crossovers, behind the back passes, in and out, double between the leg moves, stutter steps, inside out crossovers, step back dribble, hands high, the kisses off the glass with the high arcing finger rolls. This dude game is so pretty, and I will be the first to admit it. I do not like Stephen Curry. I will be opening up front with the Ham Rothstein Sports followers. I do not like this guy because I feel like he's cocky. I feel like he rubs it in because he is just too damn good. Sometimes I just can't believe my eyes, man. I can't believe my eyes. I can go on another 30-plus minutes talking about Stephen Curry. But let me get back to the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James has lost his confidence in his shot, like I said before. I mean, I don't get it, man. Tonight he was 0-for-8 outside of the paint, mid-range jumpers and threes included. This dude has been stinking it up, man. And you know where I think this all started? I think this all started the last year that they played against the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals when he was with the Miami Heat. Do you guys remember when Kawhi Leonard was checking him and he would just sag off of LeBron and LeBron was very reluctant to shoot it? I just don't understand it. They said he came in 40 minutes prior to tonight's game and he still had a horrible shooting output, even though he had a triple-double. The numbers were there, but the shooting isn't. The free throw percentage isn't. The mid-range jumper is gone. The three-point shot is an afterthought. LeBron, you have to get in the gym. And if you're going to the gym, hell, maybe you need to stop going to the gym. Do something different than what you're doing, because, I mean, this is ridiculous. He's shooting as bad as a guy that hasn't played basketball in years. I mean, I can get up and shoot and make these goddamn shots that they give LeBron. I mean, he's wide open, uncontested. They playing 7 to 10 feet off of this guy. I have never seen a star being guarded so loosely. And I have some stats for you. Mid-range for the 2015-2016 season. LeBron James is 38 out of 119. That is 31.9% from mid-range this year. Three-point percentage isn't any better. He's 27 out of 109 attempts. He is shooting a measly, and I mean measly, 24.8. That's not going to get it done, man, because I'll tell you one thing. The San Antonio Spurs are not going anywhere. The Golden State Warriors aren't going anywhere. Steph Curry isn't missing free throws. Klay Thompson isn't missing free throws. Draymond Green, Baby Magic, as my big cousin calls him, isn't missing free throws. They all seem to be hungry and itching and starving and salivating at the mouth to get back to the NBA Finals and win yet another one. Hell, they may even break the Bulls' all-time 72-10 regular season record if they want to. If they want to, these guys aren't playing. And I just think the Cleveland Cavaliers made a huge mistake, by hiring Tyronn Lue. Not to say that he can't coach, but I would have liked to seen a guy by the name of either Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson, because why? They have more experience in the NBA than Tyronn Lue. And I understand that he came up under Doc Rivers. He's been an assistant coach for a long time. He played alongside Kobe Bean Bryant, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Shaquille the Diesel O'Neal. Excuse me. I understand all of that. I get it. But for right now, for this team that's trying to get over that championship hump, because let me be clear. The way that this team has been looking, I got to tell you, man, I hate to say it, but I like Chicago coming out of the Eastern Conference, man, because Kyrie Irving hasn't looked like himself ever since coming back with injuries. He had one or two or three, maybe three good games, but so far he's been rather pedestrian as of late. And then Kevin Love, they still haven't done anything that led me to believe that they're going to insert him into the offense, because, like I said earlier, the offense is still stagnant. It's still a lot of 101, 105, pick and roll, ill-advised jump shots, contested jump shots, and nobody is making shots. So you're not going to get it done from that perspective, man. You're not going to get it done. And I just think the Cleveland Cavaliers have set themselves up for failure, and LeBron James too, because I'm telling you, a lot of people know that LeBron James, even though they're not going to admit it, they will not. But LeBron James got David Blatt fired. LeBron James didn't respect David Blatt. And who can blame him? I mean, because what has he proven? But that's it for the show, man. That's all I got for you guys tonight. If you missed the show, it's okay. Go to iTunes, archive it, type in Ham Rothstein Sports. You can go to my website also at www.hamrothsteinsports.com. Like the show, subscribe to the show, share it, like it on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Hell, I don't care what you do with it. As long as you keep supporting me, I'm here for y'all. And once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Y'all be blessed, and I'm out.